Hello, I'm Richard Hurley, the BMJ's Features and Debates Editor. Our latest debate asks, should doctors recommend acupuncture for pain? And in a moment we'll hear from two of the authors of that debate. But first, to frame the discussion, here's Kumari Manikasamy, a GP in North London and a patient who's used acupuncture to control her pain during pregnancy. Hi, Kumari.
Hi.
Can you give BMJ readers a bit of background to the pain you're in and its effects on you?
Well, I suffered with pregnancy-related pelvic girdle pain in my first pregnancy. It got much better after giving birth, though it never went away. Unfortunately, when I was pregnant with my second child, who's now 18 months old, it became very severe. I became virtually unable to walk. I was more or less confined to the house. Of course, being pregnant, I was reluctant to take very strong painkillers. So I was pretty stuck.
And so you decided to have acupuncture. How did that come about?
Well, my physiotherapist felt she couldn't do any more for me. I tried some massage, which didn't really help. And thought, what else can I try? Well, let me try acupuncture. It's drug-free. It's safe in pregnancy, though there is a little bit of controversy about that. There isn't any strong evidence to indicate that acupuncture is harmful in pregnancy. And I thought I didn't have anything to lose at that point. I just wanted to try anything that was safe and that would enable me to cope a little bit better with my pain.
The one way you phrase your desperation in the piece you wrote was you say that it was devastating when you found that there was no more help that conventional medicine could offer. You felt abandoned.
Yes.
And let down, and you were terrified about how you would cope with the rest of the pregnancy. So
yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about how it actually felt for you when you had the acupuncture and then afterwards?
Having a caring person, a caring professional, listen to my story, which at the, and as I said, I was feeling desperate at the time, and someone's having them say, "I understand. I'm happy to try and help you and help just support you in this journey." It felt incredibly important that there was somebody there. I wasn't expecting eradication of my pain by any means. I think it was very important, though, to have someone at least offering help and saying that they would try. That the fact that there was something else that I could do other than just waiting for the condition to inexorably worsen until I gave birth. But it gave me back a sense of control, and it was an emotional support as well.
And you can read Kumari's commentary on the debate, which is called "I Was Pregnant, in Pain and Desperate When I Chose Acupuncture" on bmj.com. Now let's look at the evidence. Joining me to debate whether doctors should be prescribing acupuncture for pain are two of the authors of our head-to-head debate. Asbjørn Robjørnsen is at the Centre for Evidence-Based Medicine at University of Southern Denmark, and Mike Cummings is Medical Director of the British Medical Acupuncture Society. Thank you both for joining us. We heard from Kumari that she was desperate, had exhausted her options with the NHS, and that acupuncture helped her, though whether that was through feeling cared for or the needling itself is unclear. Mike, is there any evidence at all that acupuncture is better than placebo?
Yes, I would say there is. Our debate here is turning on the big data sets, but there's lots of other data which supports the idea that there are useful effects in pain, such as this commentary. We tend, in modern evidence-based medicine, tends to focus very much on large systematic reviews and randomized controlled trials. But we were warned by Dave Sackett in 1996 in the BMJ that medicine risks becoming tyrannized by evidence if we focus too much on those large data sets and ignore clinical expertise.
Ashburn, do you agree with Mike on this?
Well, in some aspects, but not entirely. I think that clinical expertise is clearly important, but the reason why evidence-based medicine grew and the reason why we emphasize the need for randomized trials in any other context, not just with respect to acupuncture, is that clinical experience with regard to effect of treatment is highly unreliable, and there's a lot of historical evidence to support that. So we need to integrate those three aspects that are, in essence, evidence-based medicine. The best external clinical results from trials and systematic review, the experience of the treatment provider, and the choices and values of the patient.
As far as I understand it, there are Cochrane reviews that find no appreciable benefit to acupuncture. Is that a fair summary of the evidence?
Well, I hope that we will focus on the issues of where Mike and I disagree, but we can start with what I take as our agreement, that if you look at the best summary of good randomized controlled trials and compare acupuncture for pain with placebo, the signal you get out of there, the effect size, is very small. It corresponds to roughly 4 or 5 millimeters on a 100-millimeter scale. And the usual threshold for when we think of an effect as clinically relevant is maybe 10, or some say 15, or even larger. So that's one issue. The question then is how to interpret that. I guess that Mike will say that this proves that there is a biological component to needling. I would say that there is a huge problem in using these numbers, partly because there's a huge risk of bias, or large risk of bias, in these trials that are in large, insufficiently blinded. But the basic fundament for our debate, I think, should be, and our two pieces concur on that the effect size is small. The question is how you interpret that effect size. Is it more relevant to look at non-blinded trials where the effect is larger? Or is it, and to which extent are these trials biased? My emphasis is that is something that is really important to look at. And Mike tend to say that it's unimportant.
Mike, do you want to say what you think about these effect sizes?
Yep. Sure, yes. I mean, I think the key thing that I would want to get across here is that the comparison, acupuncture is compared to sham acupuncture. And I think it's very easy for the non-clinical reviewer who has never seen acupuncture or sham or tried to use them, it's difficult for them to appreciate that sham acupuncture clearly is not the same as an inert placebo. I've tried recently for some television programs to use the modern sham needles and convince the person that they were having real acupuncture. It was very easy for me to convince them. In fact, I created more pain with the sham needles than I did create sensation with the real needles. They caused more bleeding, interestingly, the non-penetrating needles, and researchers have told me this. So what I would want to say is that the comparison with sham isn't a comparison with placebo. If you look at the effect of sham acupuncture compared to other interventions, sham acupuncture is frequently better than conventional care comparisons. And in the largest data set, it proved in all types of chronic pain to be superior to various conventional care comparators. Okay, it's not blinded, but the sham acupuncture proved to have higher ratings in health-related quality of life, significantly higher than all other comparators. Now, those comparators varied. Some were quite intense, guideline-based guideline-based conventional care. Others were waiting list. Others were usual care. So sham acupuncture in addition to usual care. But, you know, this is a huge data set that quite clearly shows this benefit of sham acupuncture. So it's unfair to assume that is a placebo.
Ashbjorn, what do you say to that?
Well, I think placebo is an interest of mine. I've done quite a lot of research on it, and clearly there's a huge or a quite considerable variation in the effect of placebo. The more theatrical we construct a placebo, the larger an effect of placebo tends to be. This is not something specific to acupuncture. It's a generic aspect of placebo interventions when you penetrate the skin, where you have machines with blinking lamps or in surgery. And these effects tend to be larger, but these are different effects. I mean, this is the crux, the crux of the matter. Are we looking at effects biologically caused by needling in specific areas, or are we looking at effect caused by the treatment situation in which people are made to believe that this is an effect, and in such a way that they think this is a meaningful treatment? And in that way, I think it's extremely important to keep your eye on the ball and to actually use the same methods that we use when assessing effects generally across all the different types of intervention within medicine and acupuncture. There's no reason for acupuncture to have a free ride here. So the important thing is there a causal relation between needling in specific pain or in specific acupuncture points or not? And Mike would say, I think this has been proven, and I am severely doubting that that has been proven. It's possible. But what we look at is a very small signal. And to compare, and then to take, to get rid of placebo control groups, as we use in all kinds of comparative studies, and look only at unblinded study and regard them as more pragmatic or more clinically relevant, I think that is actually a major misunderstanding. We need to have a causal relationship firmly established before we look at the pragmatic trials.
Mike, do you have anything further to say?
Can I? Yeah. Yes. Could I say that? I mean, one of the issues that was brought up there were points. Now, everybody has heard of acupuncture points, but that has been a huge problem for many years in terms of research because people have been missing the point in the control group. And I wrote that in a commentary in the BMJ some 15 or more years ago. Let's hope we stop missing the point. And what I mean there is that we've known for some 50 years that acupuncture works through stimulating nerve endings in deep somatic tissue, usually. And there's the data, the experimental data on that is clear. If you do sham acupuncture by missing the point and your needle still goes in the same tissue, there's going to be absolutely no physiological difference. And most of the clinical trials that do this show absolutely no difference between real and sham needling. And that's because it's needling against needling. You know, penetrating the skin, even if you call it a sham, this is not a non-active intervention if we're talking about modulating endogenous pain systems. We know quite well now how stimulating certain nerves has analgesic effects, and we do it in various different ways in medicine. Acupuncture needling is just one way. And it is part of, so placebo-type context-related effects, real effects in analgesia, can be generated by pointing, using a pointing device, such as an acupuncture needle. And that's been demonstrated by Benedetti. You can get regional effects, regional analgesic effects, by a therapeutic ritual that points to a certain part of the body, and not get them in other parts of the body. And we understand those mechanisms in the nervous system, and they work through drugs such as endogenous opiates. So the effect of placebo and the effect of acupuncture-like stimulation overlap. That's another reason why it's very difficult to separate them apart in clinical trials. But if you just apply them, you see quite large effects in comparison to other interventions. It is very hard to know exactly which bit is specific to the needle being placed in a particular part of the body. That is very hard to measure, but in the laboratory it isn't. In the laboratory, sham acupuncture has no effect. And strong stimulation does have a significant effect on surgical analgesia, for example.
Ashbourne, do you recognise this as this argument? Does this persuade you?
Well, I think the field of placebo has moved forward for the last 10 or 20 years, and it's a misunderstanding that placebo is conceived as something that has no effect. I mean, we know that placebo can induce effects. So they tend to do that in a moderate number of patients and have a moderate type of effect on pain, for example, and Benedetti and others have clearly shown the biological aspect of that. I don't see that has much relevance. The argument here, from my point of view, is that what is the evidence for an effect of acupuncture in itself? And what I hear Mike Cumming say is that a lot of these trials, from his perspective, has made a mess of it. They don't measure the right thing. Well, I will then step back a step and say, well, then we need to address that uncertainty and to make better trials. And if Mike is able to make huge effect of acupuncture in the laboratory, well, he has a model and he should make a new trial and we can discuss the new situation in 2 or 3 or 5 years when that trial has been made. In the meantime, we need to look at the trials that have been done, and for the general public and for most physicians, I still regard that there's an idea of acupuncture points, that's the needling that is essential, and other points are a placebo. Well, that may be right or wrong, but then the Acupuncture Society and others have to redefine the acupuncture theory, present it, test it in a new randomized trial, and bring science forward.
Thank you. Something further that you discuss in your written argument is that that acupuncture could also cause harm. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I guess that Mike and I agree that the likelihood of harm of acupuncture is small. However, there are case stories of very severe harms. I wanted to make a point that acupuncture is per se not harmless, and that from a person looking from the outside and into the acupuncture community, the usual concern is to get the benefit-harm ratio right. And
thank you. I mean, another issue perhaps, and I've heard anecdote, that people may decide to stop their conventional treatment and try acupuncture instead, and there can be harms associated with that. But, Mike, what do you make of these criticisms or this suggestion that acupuncture can cause harm?
Yes, of course. Of course acupuncture can cause harm. There's a big literature of adverse events, and we look very carefully at this. They're very rare indeed. So the average clinical trial is way too small to pick up any serious, generally to pick up any serious adverse events. So adverse events in clinical trials would be very minor generally. The biggest prospective survey was done as part of a big trial program, but it wasn't in itself a trial. It was a prospective survey, and they covered 2.2 million treatments in Germany over a period of some years. And in that, they very clearly document all the adverse events and the relative frequency of those adverse events. And it's a very useful paper. Of course, acupuncture varies depending on where it is performed in the body. The risks will vary. But this is something that we are very clear on teaching in our training courses. We emphasize the importance of good technique, of avoidance of these structures, which classical acupuncture doesn't necessarily do. So, acupuncture vary hugely around the world, and I think there are always options to look out for these reports and to modify practice, to modify training. I think
I'm happy to hear that. And what do you say to the situation in a lot of randomized trials that there is no systematic detection system in place, that they simply don't look for harms?
So, I mean, the reporting is improving, I think, and adverse event reporting has almost become standard. I remember reviewing a very, very large clinical trial from China just a few months ago, and they clearly reported adverse events, which were relatively minor, in fact. But when I looked at them, I saw that, in fact, there was significantly more, I think it was diarrhea in this case, it was a small percentage of patients, but it was slightly greater in the real acupuncture group compared to the sham group. And that actually fits physiologically with the nature of the stimulation that they were performing in that trial. But having said that, because acupuncture, when performed appropriately, when performed safely by well-trained people, the physiological impact of acupuncture, because it is mediated through sensory nerves, the actual effects of that in general are limited in terms of adverse effects.
Thank you. I think it seems interesting that, Ashbourne, you say that there is perhaps insufficient evidence for acupuncture, and yet it persists. Mike says in his argument that acupuncture is recommended in many countries, and it has been, well, it's recommended by NICE in England and Wales for tension, headache and other indications at the moment, and it has been recommended for low back pain. Why does a technique which has such weak backing, why does it persist?
Well, basically, I guess that this is a grey zone situation. When you look at randomized controlled trials, there is a signal. It's the question how you interpret that signal. It's a small signal. Some would say that it's big enough for to act on, and that what is important is the unblinded trials. Others would say that the unblinded trials are very unreliable. And so... I'm not so worried about the variation in how different societies would elect on saying that we should use or not use acupuncture. Basically, this is, I think, a question for individual patients to decide. And I think that it's extremely important that in this debate that we recognize that we are in the or I see myself as in the business of providing as reliable information to individual patients and provider to make their decisions. Mike is in a slightly different situation because as a member or a leader of a society of acupuncture, he's also in the business of promoting acupuncture. And
so you're suggesting a conflict of interest there?
Yeah. Any clinician who uses a technique is said to be biased in favor of the technique. But my bias in favor of acupuncture has been created through an accidental discovery of it when I was in the military as a doctor. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. We should all be doing this. And then by chance, I ended up associated with this organization and getting involved in research and looking back at my training in medicine and realizing so much of what I picked up in conventional medicine had no evidence that it worked, but we still use it.
Thanks, Mike. It's such a fascinating debate, but unfortunately, we are going to have to bring it to a close. Mike, do you have any final words to say in less than 1 minute?
Okay, yeah. I mean, very briefly, one thing we haven't touched on is the risks of conventional drugs such as nonsteroidals and opiates that are used to treat elderly patients with osteoarthritic pain, where acupuncture has a very useful effect, I think, in practice. And when we look at the research, again, we look at that problem, not much difference between real and sham needling, but a reasonable difference between needling and not needling in pain from osteoarthritis. Thousands of patients die in the UK every year from taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs for treating osteoarthritis. And, you know, even if we just treated a small proportion of those, the potential benefit in terms of reduced mortality must be huge.
That's great. Thank you. Asbjørn, what are your final comments on this?
Well, thank you for a fascinating debate, timely and interesting. My final point would be to stress the importance of providing reliable information to the patients, and that if patients are to be able to choose rationally whether they want to have acupuncture or not, I think they should be told quite clearly that there is possible a true effect of acupuncture needling, possibly not, but there's clearly a considerable placebo effect, and that the distinction between content and packaging is important. So it's not just a question of Mike and I debating whether there's an evidence for effect or not. The distinction between what is a placebo effect and what is an acupuncture effect has profound implications for how we should inform our patients.
And yet you conclude your argument by saying that doctors should not recommend acupuncture for pain.
Doctors have a huge responsibility to inform their patients. And one thing is to provide information for patients. Another thing is whether I think as a person that there is sufficient evidence out there to recommend it generally. I don't think so, but I recognize that patients will sometimes choose it, but they should choose it based on a fair knowledge of the risk of bias involved in the trials and a distinction between what is a placebo acupuncture and what is true acupuncture.
You've been listening to Asbjørn Robjørnsen and Mike Cummings debate whether doctors should prescribe acupuncture, and Kumari Manikasamy on why she chose to use it despite the lack of evidence. That's all for this episode, but we'd love to hear what you think about these issues, so please send us a rapid response on bmj.com where you can read these pieces in full. And I'll be back next time with another debate. Goodbye.